Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know through the comments on Spotify or through my email or social media. All links can be found in the description. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please follow, review, and rate. All that really helps out the podcast. And speaking of which, please enjoy the show.
That's right, but I work in good old London town. My last assignment took me to the States.
Really? May I ask what sort of work you do, Mr. Kennan?
Well, that's the $64 question. The company's name is Assignments Unlimited. And my boss lives up to it like a battle honor. Come up and see me sometime at 33 Half Moon Street.
Orby Mason at your service. At Assignments Unlimited, we do anything, anywhere, at any time.
33 Half Moon Street.
I have a file in front of me. On the front cover is boldly typed, "A kitten for Mr. Katz." To say that Mr. Benjamin Katz paid us a visit at 33 Half Moon Street would not be strictly accurate. he descended on our peace and quiet in this backwater like a clap of thunder. Mr. Katz was a man of few words, but he had a lot to say. It's part of the routine at Assignments Unlimited that I lend a patient an attentive ear.
I'm in the theatrical profession, Mr. Mason, casting mainly. Got quite a few things on the go at the moment. Theatre's having a boom, vaudeville's on the way back, television, radio, motion pictures, other films, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, it keeps me on the go all the time. Never have a chance to sit still for a moment. I'm here today, and tomorrow I'll be in the Midlands, after that over to Italy to shoot a scene of a girl on the beach bouncing a ball. That's for a TV commercial. Why they have to go all the way to Italy just to get a girl bouncing a ball on a beach beats me.
It must be very trying.
Oh, but I never let it get me down. Get in there and fight, I say. If you don't get the job done, your competitors will get there ahead of you. Romantic game show business. That's what you think. Cutthroat, Mr. Mason. That's the word to really describe it. A knife in the back.
What is it exactly that you wish us to do?
What's that? Oh, yeah, well, a little job. They told me you handle anything. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, great. Here's my card. Huh? Send the account there and it'll be settled right away. Well, I must get going. You've got to be in the Midlands first thing tomorrow.
Mr. Katz. Is it film stunting or something like that?
Film stunt? Oh, the job, yeah. Well, I didn't say, did I?
No.
Well, I got a little female kitten arriving on the boat train lunchtime tomorrow. She's got someone on the train looking after her, and he'll hand the kitten over to your man in the platform buffet if he's there at lunchtime. Now, just look after her until I get back from the Midlands day after tomorrow. Well, now, I really must run. Been a pleasure meeting you, Mr. Mason. Do you ever go to the theater?
Often.
Well, I'll send you tickets for my next review. Goodbye.
Good afternoon, Mr. Katz.
You okay, Chief?
Cannon. How nice to see you. Come in.
You're having trouble with that guy?
No, just a client. He's a little exuberant.
Well, he must have spent his prenatal days under machine gun fire.
How was the trip to Washington?
Oh, went off without a hitch. Do I get a furlough?
Surely 5 days on the Queen Elizabeth was enough.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say, so I'm reporting for duty.
As it happens, I have a small thing here for tomorrow.
Mr. Katz, the man who just left?
How did you know his name?
I looked in the appointments book.
He's got a kitten arriving on the boat train at King's Cross tomorrow. We have to look after it until he gets back from the Midlands.
So you want me to go to King's Cross with a quart of milk?
Or something like that. The kitten's in charge of a man on the train. He'll hand over to you in the platform buffet at lunchtime.
Well, how'll I know this guy?
Oh, there shouldn't be any difficulty, Cannon. How many people on King's Cross Station will have kittens for company?
Well, that's a good question. And what do I do with the kitten when I've collected it?
You're in charge until Mr. Katz gets back. We'll take it to your flat, if you like. Anything, so long as you don't lose it.
Uh-huh. Hey, what do I feed this kitten on?
Oh, I don't know. Cream, I suppose. I've never kept cats. Well, what's the joke?
I was just thinking, you've never kept cats, and now you're working for one.
Late the following morning, Cannon, after a short consultation with a pet shop in Charing Cross, left for his assignation with a kitten. At lunchtime, he was sipping an old and mild in the platform buffet when the boat train pulled into the station. He carefully scanned the passengers for some sign of a man and a kitten.
Pardon, monsieur. Are you the gentleman who was sent to meet me?
Well, I wish I was.
But Monsieur Katz said there would be a gentleman to meet me in the platform buffet, and you are the only gentleman to serve by yourself.
Uh-huh. Did you say Mr. Katz?
Well, monsieur, he is my agent.
But Mr. Katz said I was to meet a kitten.
That is what they call me in France, monsieur. My name is Marie Lavour.
Oh, Marie Lavour, so you're the kitten I had to meet, huh?
Is the idea distasteful to you, monsieur?
Distasteful? For once, I've got me an assignment that's the cat's whiskers.
Yes, Cannon's job was to act as chaperone to a sex kitten. I just hadn't understood the theatrical parlance of my flamboyant client. A lesser man might have been a little nonplussed by this turn of events. But Cannon was not in the least bit disturbed.
You see, Marie, the chief got the whole thing wrong. He sent me on the trail of a feline. Well, come think of it, he wasn't all that far out after all.
Well, I'm in your hands, monsieur. Where shall we go?
Well, that's a question, Marie, that causes a conflict in my mind. Should I follow the line of duty or countermand my chief's orders and change them to suit the situation?
I don't quite follow you.
Well, my orders were to feed you on cream and keep you in my flat.
Hmm. Then you had to change your orders, monsieur.
Yeah, I was afraid you'd say that.
I never eat cream. It's bad for my figure.
You know, this job gets better by the minute. Hey, do cats eat curry?
Delicious.
Then we'll eat curried chicken at Vera Swami's, and then, let's go chew on a chicken first, huh?
Over the curry, Cannon warmed to his task. The change in diet for his charge had been drastic, but Cannon looked for all the world like a cat at a bowl of cream. This didn't prevent him putting some pertinent questions to the lovely Miss Lavour.
Oh, by the way, Marie, what happened to your luggage?
I have just an overnight bag, this one.
Do you usually travel so light?
Monsieur Katz telephoned just 1 hour before the ferry left. He said I was to drop everything and come. That's not uncommon in show business, you know. He said he would provide everything for me at this end.
Well, I guess he'll do that when he gets back tomorrow. Where does he live, this guy Katz?
His home, you mean? Oh, I have no idea. I wish I did. Then I would go there.
Well, if he wanted you to do that, he would have said so. Well, maybe Mrs. Katz is in residence, and if she got a look at you, she might get Papa to change his vocation.
Oh, but it will still be a difficult 24 hours for me.
Now, how come?
I'm hoping for my big break in England. Mr. Katz says there is a good chance that I will get a part in a new film there to shoot at Elstree. You know this place?
Sure, half an hour from here in Boreham Wood, but why is it so difficult?
In the cinema world, one must be seen only in the best places with the right people.
Oh, you should have said I'd have taken you to tea at Buckingham Palace.
Oh, please, do not misunderstand me. It's just because I haven't my luggage with me. I haven't even a change of clothes. If I book into a small out-of-the-way hotel and someone sees me, then it will start bad gossip for me. A cinema star must live only in the best places. Yet, alas, I cannot book into a good hotel because they will ask why I have no luggage.
And the film star is never far from her pantechnicon. Yeah, I always wondered why film stars were a bit screwy. I'm learning. But you know, you don't have to worry, Marie. You can stay the night in my flat. How's that?
You're very kind, Monsieur Cannon. But that would not be proper, would it?
Well, it would if I bedded down the flop house around the corner.
You would really give up your flat for one night for me?
Mademoiselle, I'm a regular Galahad, but there's a condition.
Oh?
After you've met up with Katz and gotten organized on this movie, I take you out to dinner. And we'll do it on your conditions. The right people, that's me, and the right place. Beer and sausages and dirty bits.
I shall look forward to our date with anticipation and pleasure, monsieur.
And I'll twist old Katz's arm to make sure you become a movie star right soon.
Do you think I'll be successful?
Baby, you'll be the cat's meow. Waiter, clear away the litter, huh?
It wasn't until after his lunch at Vitaswami's that Cannon reported in. At that time, I had no idea that Mr. Katz's kitten was a lovely girl from France. Cannon, of course, was quick to inform me.
So you see, Chief, you got it all wrong. His kitten's a real dish, and our client, Mr. Katz, needs his head red for treating her this way.
I don't follow, Cannon. Are you suggesting that he's treated her badly?
Landing a potential movie star in London with no gear? You just don't know the business, Chief.
But I do know that you all know Rudolph Valentino.
Valentino? He went out with Prohibition.
Well, I must confess I don't attend the cinema very frequently. However, where is Miss Lavour?
In my apartment.
What?
Yeah, now, don't panic. Those were your orders, and I've booked into the hotel around the corner for the night.
Well, Cannon, I... Assignments Unlimited.
Oh, is that you, Mr. Mason?
Speaking?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good afternoon. How are things in the Midlands?
Oh, they're fine, just fine. Did you meet the kitten?
Yes. One of my men met her and is looking after her.
Oh, good. Now, it occurred to me that she won't know where to come to tomorrow. I wondered if your man would bring her out to the Four Swans in Waltham Cross.
The Four Swans at Waltham Cross? Yes, certainly. At what time, Mr. Katz?
Well, 6 in the evening.
I'll see to it.
Oh, good man. Now, don't worry about the expenses. I'll see to everything. Goodbye, Mr. Mason.
Good day, Mr. Katz.
Chief, you got that look again.
Miss Baines is off the switchboard. She popped out for a minute and put the line through to this office. Katz rang straight through to me.
So?
I asked him how things were in the Midlands, and he said fine. But he can't be in the Midlands because he dialed direct. You heard that wasn't a trunk call. Mr. Katz is right here in London. That's odd, Cannon. I wonder why he told me a deliberate lie. If Mr. Katz was in London, then why did he wish an escort from Miss Lavour? And if she knew that he was in London, then she'd made an awful fool of Cannon. For all his ponderous bulk, Cannon is agile of mind and body. To coin a Cannon phrase, he'd gotten the message.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me have the phone, Chief. Cute.
Who are you ringing?
My flat.
Well, careful what you say.
That's all right, Chief. I just swallowed a jar of honey. Hello?
Hello. Who is speaking,
please? It's me, Cannon. Everything all right?
Oh, I was in the bar.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's all right. It's nice to hear your voice.
Just thought I'd ring to check that you're okay.
Oh, you're very kind, Monsieur Cannon.
Now, you get back to that bath before you drip all over my Persian carpet.
Is it Persian?
Well, the guy Marks and Spencer's bargain basement said it was.
What time will you be home?
Oh, about an hour or so. Oh, by the way, Mr. Katz rang.
Oh, he's back in town?
No, he's still up north. He wanted to know if you were okay.
And I am, thanks to you.
Now, that's what I told him. Now, look, if I'm late, you can play solitaire. There's a deck of cards in the bureau.
I cook you some dinner. How's that?
Great. Be seeing you, kitten.
Au revoir, Monsieur Cannon.
Well? Well. Now, I don't know. She's an actress. Could mean a lot or nothing. Chief, where is this, guy Katz hanging out?
Oh, here's his card.
Mm-hmm.
See anything odd about it?
Well, no phone number, just the address.
And for a theatrical agent, that's decidedly odd. I didn't bother to look at it closely before. I simply shoved it in the drawer of the desk.
17A Wardour Street. Well, do I take the tube or a taxi?
Oh, I think this warrants a taxi. But don't forget, he's never met you, and he doesn't know that you were assigned to the job of meeting Miss Lavour.
Unless she rang and told him.
Well, there's no telephone.
Check. Okay, I'll be 30 minutes. And if I find what I think I'll find, Mr. Katz, the fur's gonna fly. Four flights. Martin Webster Publishing Company, Ann's Theatrical Hire, Shamwa Window Cleaning Company, the Carl Black Bridge Club. No Mr. Katz. Well, I guess here's as good as any.
Ah! Major Farnham, we were expecting you.
No, just a minute. You got me wrong. My name's Cannon. I just want a little information.
Are you from the police?
No, I'm looking for an old friend of mine, name of Katz. I was told he ran a theatrical agency in this building.
Katz? Katz? You're American, aren't you?
Yeah. Katz?
Yes, Katz. No, there's no one here by that name.
You know everybody here?
Quite so. Well, there's Anne's Theatrical Hire, of course. It's run by a girl called Sally Manger, not Anne at all. Sally Manger's always eating, so they call her Salle à Manger. It's terribly amusing, don't you think?
Huh. And no cats?
No cats.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
No cats.
Not even on the rooftops. Chief, we've been taken.
It looks like it.
So what do we do?
Technically, we have a case for fraud, of course.
You mean the cops?
We'd be entitled to lay our predicament before the law. It's obvious that Katz never intended to pay for our services rendered. I'm not sure that I'd welcome the publicity, though. And then there's the girl.
Yeah, the girl. What about her?
From your telephone conversation, she's probably toasting you a tasty frog's leg over your gas ring.
You know, Chief, sometimes I wonder why I work for you.
I suppose the money has something to do with it. Now, our client has asked us to deliver the lady to the Four Swans Hotel at Waltham Cross. This we will do. It may well be that he wished to keep his real address a secret for some quite logical reason. If that's so, then he'll pay up when you deliver the goods.
Chief, I got a funny feeling.
Yes, so have I. But we'll play along straight at our end. Go back to your flat and act as if nothing's happened.
Okay.
Don't let the girl know where her assignation with Katz is to be. It's just as well not to take chances. Tomorrow evening at 6, you can take her to the Four Swans and clean everything up.
I know who I'll clean up first if I don't get the dough.
There is this to it, Cannon. It might be dangerous. You never know.
No, I'll take a chance on that. Hey, what's this guy Katz like anyway?
Oh, you won't have to worry about him. He's late middle-aged and out of condition.
Won't you tell me where we're going?
Did I say I wouldn't tell you?
All day when I ask you, you've been busy.
Well, the fact is, Mr. Katz said to take you to the Four Swans Hotel in Waltham Cross. I couldn't ring him back to check because he was out of town. Now, you see, the Four Swans is really in Eleanor Cross. The two places are a stone's throw away, but, I thought I'd make sure first.
Is this the way to the cinema studio?
No, it's the way to the north, the Great North Road. It leads to the Midlands. You know where Mr. Katz has been all this time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is it. I'll just turn the corner and park. There it is, Four Swans Hotel. Now, that statue was erected to the memory of Queen Eleanor by King Edward.
You are a student of English history, Monsieur Canot?
No. I looked it up in the guidebook. Okay, in we go. See anybody you know?
Maria, I'm so glad to see you. My most humble apologies for not being at the station to meet you.
I was well looked after, Monsieur Katz, by this gentleman.
Oh, you must be from Assignments Unlimited.
That's right. Cannon's the name. You're Mr. Katz.
Oh, yes, I am. You've done me a great service.
It's a pleasure. We do anything for money.
Oh, yes, your fee. Now, are you empowered to accept it?
That's right.
Well, excellent. Now, if you'll just settle down here, order yourself a drink while I show Miss LeVure to her room, I'll come right down and fix up about your fee. All right?
Okay.
Well, this way, then, Marie.
Thank you for everything, Monsieur Cannon. And I shall not forget our date. You know how to keep in touch.
Don't ring you. You ring us.
I will. Au revoir, Monsieur Cannon.
Be seeing you, kitten.
Well, Marie, now, did you have a good trip?
Oh, I was in the wind.
Hey, waiter.
Yes, sir?
Where does the door at the back of the hotel lead to?
Oh, it's the car park, sir.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to know. Here. Cool. Blimey. £1.
Why didn't you come alone? That man might have caused some embarrassment.
I couldn't get him to tell me where you'd arranged the meeting.
He looks an ugly customer.
He's quite harmless and very sweet.
Did you ask him where we were to meet?
Of course. He didn't tell me because you said Waltham Cross instead of Eleanor Cross. They have a reputation, his company. He did not want to make a mistake.
Well, he's made one now, the poor boob. I wonder how long he'll sit in that lounge waiting for me to come back.
It might have been wise to pay him.
Well, the less he sees of me, the better. I know these chaps. They've noses like Pinocchio and ask a lot of awkward questions. What's the matter?
A car behind us is about to pass. It's the same car that brought me. It's Cannon. Cannon is behind the wheel.
What?
It's forcing you up the road. Stop! here forever.
Oh, get over, you fool. Get over.
Oh, pulling to the side, please.
Now,
pulling.
Go to the devil.
You're trash. You're trash.
Okay. You two babies get out.
Well, I hurt my arm.
Pity you didn't break your neck. You too, Miss Lavoie, or whatever your name is. I'm in a pretty nasty mood.
You tried to kill us.
He could have stopped. Okay, hand over that traveling bag.
No.
Miss Lavoie, I'm not in the habit of pushing women around, but if you don't give it to me, I'm going to take it.
No, it's all a mistake. I'll pay you. I forgot in the hotel. There was so much on my mind, but, you can always come to the office to collect your money.
I already tried that. And if you've got what I think you've got, your next office will be a cell in Dartmoor. Now, give me that. A metal cylinder. Sealed, too. Well, I guess we only need a little hole. That jagged fender on your car will be just a thing. Well, well. Talcum powder, Miss Lavoie?
I'll pay you well.
I'll bet you would. There's enough cocaine in this cylinder to keep you on Easy Street for years. You know, you got the wrong name, Buster. They should have called you Rat.
There can be no doubt that Katz had spoiled his ship for a ha'porth of tar. If he'd paid Cannon in the Four Swans Hotel, we'd have left it at that and put down the false visiting card to eccentricity. As it turned out, it was a profitless task, and I lost Cannon for 4 days at the trial. The narcotics people were onto Mr. Katz, and that day at King's Cross they mingled with a crowd watching for him. He knew this, and realized that the moment Marie Lavoie made contact with him, they'd both be arrested with disastrous consequences. It was a good plan to have someone from Assignments Unlimited meet the lady. She'd be quite safe until Katz could arrange a quiet rendezvous. Her cover story was sound and, well, indeed, took us both in. It was that telephone call that really upset Katz's plans.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Well, you gotta admit the boy's game.
He won't last the round, Dad. This Jamaican boy's hard as nails. Punch like the kick of a mule. There, what I tell you. The referee stopped the fight. Well, it was fair.
Crazy crowd, the English. Always shout for the underdogs. But I bet it'll be different next week for the Empire title, Bart.
If there is an Empire title.
And what do you mean by that?
Staff troubles. There's an LCC ruling at Earl's Court, and the whole area must be cleaned up right after the meeting. I don't know how we'll manage tonight, let alone next week.
You short of staff, Mr. Moore?
Of course, desperate.
Then I'm the answer to a maiden's prayer. Ring up Grosvenor 5995. That's the phone number of Assignments Unlimited at 33 Half Moon Street.
Aubrey Mason at your service. At Assignments Unlimited, we do anything, anywhere, at any time.
33 Half Moon Street.
Karen is really a quiet sort of chap with a plebeian taste for football, boxing, and Wild West pictures. He's rugged, of course, which is just as well, because Cannon has an unfortunate habit of attracting trouble. It's never intentional. He explains it by saying he has a mesmeric metabolism that attracts the seamy side of life. Certainly Mr. Moore gave no indication of what was to come when I interviewed him on the Earl's Court job.
Cleaners after the big fight next week, Mr. Moore. Well, I'm not sure that we can supply the number of workers you'd need for that.
Oh, it's not the actual sweepers, Mr. Mason. We can get them from the Labour Exchange. You see, they're mostly West Indians and work well enough if properly supervised. Mr. Cannon told me that you might be able to supply two or three men to act in a supervisory capacity with the work.
Oh, yes, that we can do easily. I'll put two of my most reliable men on the job.
Will one of them be Mr. Cannon?
Oh, without doubt. He'll be delighted at the opportunity of watching the big fight free of charge.
May I send you a couple of complimentary tickets, Mr. Mason?
For Friday night? Oh, it's kind of you, Mr. Moore, but, well, I must decline, unfortunately.
Oh, not interested in professional boxing?
Oh, it's not that, actually. It just so happens that this Friday night, my club's having its own championship match. I'm an active participant.
You're a boxer?
No, Mr. Moore, not nearly so romantic. Ours is a chess championship.
Check.
Oh, well, I think you'll find the men I send to be reliable, Mr. Moore. And I wish you a successful Friday evening.
As your Mr. Cannon would say, this Empire title fight will be a knockout.
Hi. Any objections if I park in the booth here for the fight?
Well, that depends. Are you an American?
New York. You?
Milwaukee. Well, regulations state only members of the staff are allowed in here.
Well, then I guess it's okay. Cannon's the name, boss of the cleaning team. Oh,
come right on in, Cannon. I'm Leslie Benn, National Broadcasting Corporation.
Well, what do you know? You making the fight commentary?
That's right. The New York Board of Control recognizes this Empire fight as a world eliminator, hence the broadcast to the States. Now, if you sit quietly in the corner, nobody's going to say a word. But I said quietly and no bad words.
Well, my old mammy sent me to Sunday school every week.
Stand by, Mr. Ben. You're hooked up in 10 seconds from now.
Here we go. Give me full sound in number 4 booth. Good afternoon to all listeners on the NBC hookup. This is Leslie Benn reporting from the Earl's Court Stadium in London, England, where the time is 9:30 p.m. And the contenders for the British Empire Cruiserweight title are limbering up in their respective corners, awaiting the gong for the first round that'll set them in combat and decide who will have a tilt at the World Cruiserweight Crown in Toledo in December. Both fighters are in good shape for the contest, and there's not a pound difference in weight between them. The champion, Ned Riley, with his scarlet shirts emblazoned with the green shamrock of Ireland, and the challenger, Sammy Bart, bedecked in a more somber black. The colors are symbolic. It'll be a red-letter day for the winner and a black Friday for the loser. I expect a good fight, since both boys have everything to gain by a win here in London, England. Some of you keen followers of the fight game will remember 3 years back when Nigel Bart, twin brother of Sammy, who's in the ring now, fought in the States. A larceny charge ended Nigel's career, but his twin brother has stepped right into his shoes to challenge the champion tonight. And there goes the bell for the first round. They meet in the center of the ring, both fighters summing each other up. Riley has a 3-day crop of whiskers on his chin and a snarl on his face. Bart's cool, imperturbable. That large, rosy tin ear, the hallmark of his profession on an otherwise unmarked face. Riley leads with the left. Bart brushes it aside, sidesteps neatly. As he turns, that great cauliflower ear stands up like the plumed helm of Navarre. And suddenly the tempo's changed. Bart comes storming in like a flash of light. A left, a left, another left, and a mighty chopping right that's got Riley reeling, and the crowd's going berserk. Oh, this is a Sammy Bart we've never seen before. He comes in again and slams home that left and a right and another left and a right that chops down Riley like a meat axe. He's down, Riley's down. Left on him. 3, 4. Well, he's up at 4, but boy, his face looks like he's dived head first into a cement mixer. And Riley's down again, and he's down again. Well, the crowd's going wild. The atmosphere is something he could touch his own puzzles out of it. 4, 5. The champion's game. He wants to get up, but the ref's insisting on the compulsory count of 8 after a second knockdown. And he's up, swaying on his feet as the challenger comes storming in, and it's a left and a left, and over comes that right to chop down the champ. He's down, Riley's down, and he'll put it up now this time. 60 seconds by my count, and a new Cuba world champion of the British Empire. Taylor Temple, the world champion, is here to watch this fight tonight, and it's not going to be a buggy ride when he meets Sammy Bart in December. Sammy Bart, the new cruiserweight champion.
Check. Your rook, Sir Thomas.
I think you've got me, Mason.
Check and mate. Thank you, Sir Thomas.
I don't know how you do it, Mason. You're a fighter, all right.
Oh, it's the bulldog spirit, sir.
Excuse me, sir. Is the game concluded?
Yes, Crawley. Another chess championship out of the way until next year.
May I inquire who won, Sir Thomas?
You may indeed, Crawley. Mr. Mason, undefeatable. The most rugged fighter in the kingdom.
Then you will be able to answer the telephone, Mr. Mason.
Telephone? What at this hour? Who is it?
American intonation in the voice, Mr. Mason.
Oh, I know who it is, Crawley.
Shall I plug in the extension, Mr. Mason?
If you will.
Well, I think this calls for a celebration. A bottle of port. Any dissenters? Capital. Well, let's leave Mason to his telephone conversation and appoint Crawley Potman.
Thank you. Hello? Oh, is that you, Cannon?
Hello to you all. This is hot news straight from the cannon's mouth.
Cannon, are you drunk?
No, I'm quite sober, Chief. I have watched a big fight from a broadcasting booth and seen the great Leslie Benn in action.
Oh, good show. Did he win? I mean, this Leslie Benn?
No. Leslie Benn was the commentator. The protagonists were Ned Riley and Sammy Bart. Bart won and our job's completed.
Already? But I thought you wouldn't be through until 1 a.m.
Well, the fight lasted 1 minute. 60 seconds. What a challenger and what a champion.
Cannon, look. If ever we get a job calling for a boxing commentator, our seat's passed on to you. But right now we have a little celebration going on in the club, so if you don't...
Say, that's right. I forgot. You were playing in the chess championship tonight. How did it go, Chief?
Extremely well, thank you, Cannon.
No, what I mean is, who won?
Well, I did, actually. Now, I must say...
Hang on, Chief. Look, I gotta see you tonight.
Trouble?
Maybe.
Well, what is it?
Well, one of the Jamaican cleaners found a small parcel wrapped in brown paper under the ring in Sammy Bart's corner. It's addressed to Bart.
Well, then why don't you give it to him?
was a stain in one corner where something has seeped through.
Yes?
You guessed it, Chief. It's blood.
All right, Cannon, dump it on the table. You say you found it under the ring by this Sammy Bart's corner?
Well, strictly speaking, Chief, one of the Jamaican cleaners found it.
And he handed it to you?
That's right.
Are they reliable, these Jamaicans?
Well, if you mean honest, yes. As anybody's honest who works as janitor. They're superstitious, too. This guy Bart wasn't expected to win, and yet he sailed through the champion like a maniac with a pole axe. So I told the Jamaican it was probably voodoo.
Well, what on earth did you do that for?
Mr. Moore promised me a personal bonus if I got the place clean before midnight. When they heard about the voodoo, they had that joint as clean as a widow's parlor in half an hour flat.
Cannon, you're incorrigible.
And not only that, I got bad habits. Well, what do we do, Chief? Open or deliver?
Well, it might simply be meat.
A pound of steak in case you got a black eye?
I wonder what he was doing under the ring like that.
Well, if I could offer my professional advice as a garbage expert, that entire arena was knee-deep in empty popcorn packets, torn-up tickets, newspapers for the fish and chips. And the whole place, only one small square, was free of garbage under the ring. So when the scaffold company took the ring away, it was impossible to miss seeing the package.
That rather looks as though it was put there purposely.
Well, you've got to be very short-sighted to mistake a boxing ring for a mailbox.
Well, it's carefully wrapped and neatly typed. You know, it's our duty to hand this straight over to Mr. Moore.
Well, supposing I opened it very carefully, you know, so as I could wrap it up again very carefully?
Well, that might be dangerous.
No, it can't be a time bomb. Gunpowder's black.
Oh, all right. But if it turns out to be a pound of liver, I'll have your blood.
Okay, here we go. Wow. Maybe it was voodoo after all.
Cannon, that's an ear. A human ear. Cannon just sat and stared at it, his hand gently stroking his own generous lobe. And then it occurred to me that this was a very large ear, severed sharply but crudely from its owner's head. What could it mean? I glanced inquiringly at Cannon.
Well, that's new. Maybe a day old.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing. Well, who can it belong to?
Well, search me. Maybe we got a modern Van Gogh running loose in London.
Van Gogh was an artist. Anyway, he cut off his ear to send to his lady love.
Well, it could be in reverse. A lot of these dames go dizzy over prize fighters.
A girl's ear? Look at the size of it.
Well, somebody's ears were burning last night for sure.
Another facetious remark like that from you, and I'll put a flea in your ear.
Okay, Chief, okay.
Now, look, my mind's made up. In the morning, I'm going to ring Mr. Moore and tell him exactly what's happened. Then it's up to him to take any action he thinks necessary.
Okay, that's the end of the cleaning contract.
What do you mean?
Well, Mr. Moore is so pleased with the job we did tonight, he's coming round here in the morning to offer us a regular contract at his Big Flat Promotionalist.
So?
And one of the rules is that all lost property is deposited with the man in the box office. That's why he wants supervisors. Once he knows that we remove this parcel from the arena and open it, you get what I mean, Chief?
I don't like it, Cannon. The police should be informed.
Well, as there's no law against cutting off your ear. I mean, legally it's like cutting toenails. So, some nut cuts off his ear and sent it to the challenger, Sammy Bart. It's a man's ear, and a big one at that. How do we know why he did it?
Oh, all right, but, well, what do we do with it? I say we're morally obliged to take it round to the police station, even if we do lose the cleaner's contract.
No sense in cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Cannon.
Sorry, Chief. Now, look, let me wrap it up again and take it round to Sammy Bart first thing.
Oh, all right, you win. But I don't like it. I don't like it at all, Cannon. What on earth will Mr. Bart say when he opens it?
Sammy Bart is the Empire champion, and he comes from London, so you'll probably say...
Yes?
What's this here?
The heavy, leather-bound volume of Homer's Iliad that I hurled at Cannon crashed into a closed door. In a way, I was glad that he brought the grisly parcel back to the office. I know very little about prize fighters, but I reasoned that Mr. Bart, having won his contest, would be feeling a little like myself. I must confess to a certain exhilaration at being the club chess champion, and the fighter must have felt the same. That parcel, if delivered on the night of his victory, would most certainly have ruined his great moment. But in one thing, Cannon was wrong. Sammy Bart might be a prize fighter from London, but his speech was impeccable.
Come in, Mr. Cannon. I must apologize for the untidiness of my hotel suite. I slept late this morning.
Understandably, champ. I watched the fight last night. You were great.
Thank you.
Well, I'm a fan, you know. Never missed the big ones. Sat right up there with Leslie Benn, the commentator.
The American?
Yeah. They broadcast the fight to the States, didn't you know?
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, he's tops in the States, you know. You ever been to America?
No. No, I've never been to America. They said at the desk that you had a parcel to deliver to me personally.
Oh, yes, right. I've got it here.
Who gave it, you may ask?
Nobody. You see, I was in charge of the cleaners at the stadium, and one of the workers found this under the ring by your corner. It's addressed to you, so I thought I'd bring it round personally.
Well, that was very kind of you. If you wait a minute, I'll see that you're suitably rewarded.
No, that's okay. It's just part of my job. Well, I've got to get back, so if you'll excuse me.
I wouldn't hear of it. Sit down, Mr. Cannon.
Well, you see, I...
Sit down.
Okay.
Sammy.
Nothing wrong, I hope, Mr. Bart.
Weber?
Yes, Governor.
Lock the door.
Yes, Governor.
Look, I've got a...
Sit down, Mr. Cannon. How did you get this parcel?
Well, it's like I told you.
For the last time, where did you get this parcel?
Hey, now, look, if you're trying to get tough...
Yes, Mr. Cannon.
Yeah, I should get tangled up with the future world champion. Okay, I'll come clean.
Better. A drink?
Yeah, scotch on the rocks.
Weber?
Yes, Scott.
All right, Mr. Cannon. You were about to come clean.
Well, you see, I work for an organization called Assignments Unlimited. You can check the numbers in the directory, Grosvenor 5995. I found the parcel just like I said, but I noticed there was blood that had seeped out.
The scotch on the rocks.
Hmm? Oh, thanks. So I took it back to the office and opened it up to have a look. Well, the boss and me, well, we decided the best thing to do was to deliver it here this morning.
What else could you have done with it?
Well, the chief wanted me to deliver it to the police.
Have you any idea where this might have come from?
Well, I figured it was some kind of nuts.
Hey, all right, Weber. Now, Mr. Cannon, having delivered your strange parcel, what do you expect me to do with it?
Take it to the cops, I guess.
Yes, that would be the logical thing. Or throw it away. Forget the whole incident.
Yeah, that's what I'd do. No sense in keeping it.
Forget all about it. That'd be hard for you, Mr. Cannon. I imagine your experience would make a good talking point in the pub.
That I found an ear in a box and delivered it to the future world champion? You want to have me thrown out of every bar in town?
It is an unlikely story, isn't it?
Crazy.
Very well, Mr. Cannon. You've proved to me that you're not some idiotic practical joker, so you may go. Weber?
Well, thanks, Mr. Bart. It's nice to have met you.
Oh, and here's a fiver for your trouble.
Well, that's very generous.
I make a good friend, Mr. Cannon. Good morning.
Cannon arrived back at the office at 10:30 and outlined his experience with the champion. I was surprised that so able a pugilist should be a man of such culture and wondered if the glorious days of gentleman Jim Corbett were to be resuscitated. Cannon, idly twisting the morning newspaper in his hands, had no such lofty thoughts.
He didn't talk like a prize fighter. Apart from that cauliflower ear, he doesn't even look like a prize fighter.
Are you sure it was the Empire champion you saw this morning?
Oh, no doubt about that, Chief. I watched that fight from the commentator's booth through the telescope window. And that's better than ringside. I'd know Sammy Bart anywhere.
Well, then I vote we forget the whole incident.
That's what Sammy Bart wants us to do. I gave him the ear, and he gave me a fiver.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, I got the impression that he was trying to buy me off. I don't like that. If I'm right, Sammy Bart is pushing me around. And I don't let anybody push me around, not even the cruiserweight champion. And what's more, if he was slipping me a fiver to keep my mouth shut, then he must know where that ear came from. Check.
And mate.
So that makes a skeleton in Sammy Bart's cupboard. A one-eared skeleton that's rattling a money box under his nose. And the champ is headed for the big time. Take a look at the morning newspaper.
Read the headlines.
Sammy Bart to be crowned king in December. King?
Now, that's what they call the world champion, the king.
How quaint. And he'll receive a lot of money for this.
Well, with closed-circuit television rights, about $3 million.
Well, I think I'll get a trainer in for you, Cannon. Yes? Mr. Who? Ben.
I asked him over, Chief.
Oh, all right. Send him in, will you? Isn't that the commentator fellow you were telling me about?
That's the boy. I heard him make a few remarks about the champ and the challenger last night. I just wanted to hear more.
Oh, do come in, Mr. Ben.
Thank you. Well, hello there, Kenner. Enjoyed the fight last night?
Great. Mr. Ben, this is Mr. Mason, my chief.
How do you do? Oh, never better. Well, I got your message. What can I do for you?
Well, we got a small problem, Mr. Ben. It's about Sammy Bart, the new champ.
Uh-huh.
Tell me, where did he get that great cauliflower ear?
Lucky you. I looked it up in the ring manual. I thought I might slip it into the broadcast as a tidbit if the fight got dull. Not that I had much chance. He got it in a fight in Millwall. Not in the ring, either. A bunch of hoodlums worked him over with an iron bar. Why do you ask?
You said he had a twin brother.
That's right. Nigel Bart. Great fighter, too. Maybe even better than Sammy.
Well, what happened?
Sir Nigel Bart?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was campaigning in the States. He got hauled in on a larceny charge and was convicted. Now, if that happens to a fighter, he loses his license, so that was the end of Nigel Bart.
Mm. Tell me, has Sammy ever been to the States?
To fight? No. No, but I heard tell he was in America around the time his brother Nigel was sent up the river.
Mm-hmm. And this Nigel, has he got a cauliflower ear?
Mm-mm. Not a mark on him. That's unusual for a prize fighter. Look, what's all this about?
Look, I want to have a talk with Sammy Bart, and I want you to come with me.
Oh, you're kidding. Haven't you seen the special edition?
No.
Sammy Bart committed suicide this morning. Jumped from the roof of a block of flats.
And so it seemed that we should never know the solution to the mystery of the ear. There it was in the newspaper. Sammy Bart, suicide. Complete and final. And then the telephone rang.
Assignments Unlimited.
Is that Mr. Mason?
Speaking.
Is there a Mr. Cannon with you?
Yes, he's one of my operators. He's with me at the moment, as a matter of fact. Would you like to speak to him?
No, not now. I'd like to talk to you both in, say, half an hour. But I must stress that our conversation be in the privacy of your office and completely confidential.
Well, of course. May I ask who's calling?
Your Mr. Cannon will know me. We had a little chat earlier this morning. My name is Bart.
I didn't tell Cannon immediately. First, I thanked Leslie Benn, the commentator, and promised to take a more active interest in fisticuffs. Only when he'd gone did I tell Cannon about the phantom caller. Except that he wasn't a phantom. He arrived on schedule, a magnificent specimen of manhood, vibrant and very much alive. He addressed one remark to Cannon, who answered with a grunt, and then we let him have his head.
I apologize for my rather high-handed treatment of you this morning, Mr. Cannon. You'll notice that I no longer have a cauliflower ear.
Yeah.
I came to you because my brother's death this morning closes a tragic chapter in our family life. I had to speak to you because Sammy died during the time you were in my hotel suite. Once you read about his death, you'd feel obliged to go to the police. I'm Nigel Bart, of course, Sammy's twin brother. It was I who fought and beat Ned Riley last night, not Sammy. We were identical twins. No one could tell us apart, except for the cauliflower ear and Sammy's mental instability. The ear you saw on me last night was fabricated from rubber and glued over my own. It was one reason why I had to finish the fight quickly. A blow from Ned might have dislodged it. My brother Sammy went downhill when our father died. Kept bad company, seldom out of trouble. I did all I could, but it was one battle I didn't win. I'd gladly have lost all the others, but it wasn't to be. I took him to the United States with me, hoping that a new environment might change him. But he was caught by the police, charged with larceny. And that was before his brush with the Millwall gang that damaged his ear. Well, in short, I rang the changes, stood trial for him. You probably know the result. Sammy tried hard to go straight. He turned professional. He was all right for a time. Didn't last.
The rubber ear was made a while ago as a joke. Last night, when Sammy was in no condition to go into the ring, I planned with him to swap places again. The fact he was missing his last big chance to make good threw him right off balance. Cutting off his ear and sending it to me was his last act of defiance before committing suicide.
Well, there you are. The story we called The King and the Cauliflower Ear.